This is Live Well Talk on Co-Sleeping. I'm Dr. Dustin Arnold, Chief Medical Officer at Union Point Health, St. Luke's Hospital. Joining me for today's episode is Dr. John Sevening, a pediatrician with Union Point Clinic Pediatrics, Hiawatha, to discuss the practice of parents co-sleeping with their baby, why it's dangerous, and what parents can do to sleep near their newborn without putting him or her in harm's way. Dr. Sevening, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me. How long have you been in town?
Oh, 1996.
Wow.
Finished my residency in from 93 to 96 and came back then.
That's so 20.
I was told there'd be no math, Dustin.
Yes, there's no math on the podcast. Well, welcome. We're glad you're here today to speak about this. But start with what is the definition of co-sleeping with a newborn?
So co-sleeping is, as the name might suggest, it's just a parent, usually a parent, but it does include twins, triplets. We really don't want anybody else sleeping with the baby, whether it's a bed, couch, recliner. We just really want that baby in its own space, nice firm surface with not really anything else in it, no pillows, no blankets, none of the baby protectors that we used to have
probably around the crib that
when we had kids.
Yeah. I mean, I think people, you assume the baby's going to be more comfortable with the quilt that grandma made and the blunt pillow, but that's not true.
Well, I can't comment on whether they're more comfortable or not, but I can sure tell you they're going to be more safe without that.
Without them. So what co-sleeping itself is, what's the danger there? I mean, the obvious, the possible suffocation?
That's pretty much it. So, you know, parent falls asleep too. You know, they're comforting the baby, they're nursing the baby, mom, you know, maybe doing that. Maybe dad does a bottle feeding while they're in bed or couch. And, you know, when you're a new parent, the young baby, you tend to be sleep deprived chronically. So, you know, you fall asleep. I'm sure I was guilty of doing that with a baby in my lap or in my arms at one point or another. So, you know, 99% of the time everything goes fine. Obviously, everybody wakes up and is fine, but we want to eliminate that small chance that, you know, something bad could happen.
Prior to going on with the podcast, you had mentioned the Back to Sleep campaign in the 1990s and the effect that it had on sudden infant death syndrome. Tell us what the Back to Sleep campaign was.
Early 90s, the AP came out with the Back to Sleep program to try and cut down on the cases of SIDS. Issue there was, I think, probably 70, 80%, if I remember my numbers right at the time. Babies at the time were sleeping on their tummies, and they thought there was a correlation, which there certainly was, a pretty strong correlation between that and SIDS death in babies. And after the Back to Sleep campaign was started, the number dropped pretty significantly, but obviously that number is not zero. So now we're looking at, you know, what other kind of modifiable factors are there to help reduce, really more probably correct term now for this is sudden unexplained infant death or more from suffocation, those kind of things. There's still going to be issues with babies, you know, preemies. There's multiple factors, I guess, that kind of go into SIDS.
Does that put at higher risk if they're premature?
Yeah, premature babies, babies with some, you know, issues with genetic syndrome, certain genetic syndromes. There's cardiac issues, long QT syndrome, probably several others I'm forgetting off the top of my head right now. You know, lack of prenatal care plays a risk for it. Single moms play a risk for it. Mom uses alcohol, other illicit drugs, that plays a risk in it.
So with the co-sleeping and the issue of perhaps suffocation, so I'm just going to use my adult internal medicine brain. So the baby, the infant, becomes hypercarbic. CO2 builds in the blood, and they're just not strong enough to push themselves away from that. Someone older would wake up and push away, and that's where that's the underlying pathology.
That's really the big issue. I mean, if you look at the numbers, the big, the highest rates for SIDS or suffocation kind of related issues in that scenario are really 3 months and under.
3 months. But that was my next question. What was
all, you know, babies, just like all of us older people, come in different sizes too. And, you know, there's going to be some developmental issues where, again, with preemies, where they might not be quite as strong as what a term baby would be.
Right.
But, you know, 3 months is really the big risk zone. But, you know, we kind of make sure 6 months for sure, a year, the numbers start dropping. But every now and then, you know, a 1 or 2 year old could have an issue in the right circumstances.
So, right.
So really, you know, the recommendation is, you know, baby sleeps alone in a, on that firm surface, really until that first year for sure. Even in, like, we really want them in the parents' rooms. Most people will say for that first 6 months. After 6 months, between 6 months, 12 months, usually I'm kind of like, the parent can sort of choose what they want to do at that point. But if they're comfortable with baby kind of transitioning to its own room at that stage, then that would be fine by my recommendation. So, but, you know, you talk to somebody else, they might, you know, be a little bit more adamant, stay in that, you know, stay in parents' room until that 1 year mark, but still always, you know, in their own bed, on their own surface. So,
in a firm surface on their back.
Yep.
Well, that's an easy recommendation to make, I guess. And then you transition to, they're 3 years old and your wife is getting in an argument with the 3 year old why they need to go back to their room. And if you're me, I'm just like, okay, just everybody go to bed. But that might be a different podcast.
When is it okay to kind of sleep or have that older kiddo? You know, I would say never, but, you know, there's times when you're, as a parent, you know, if you have a toddler, you don't even know they've climbed into bed.
Yeah, wake up with a foot in your face.
You just wake and you roll over and you're like, oh, there's something there. So, I mean, in a perfect world, you know, I always usually recommend to our parents, if they come in, try to kind of figure out what they're upset about. Is it, you know, we just need a glass of water? Was there a storm? Do they have a nightmare? You know, if we can get them back to their own bed, that's ideal.
Well, this has been excellent advice. And firm surface on their back, in the parents' room, at least till 6 months. And perhaps maybe the first year, depending on who recommends it.
I think if you look at the recommendations, it kind of get a little blurry in that 6 to 12 month range. But, you know, it really kind of depends. If you're breastfeeding, probably, you know, in the parent's room, bottle-fed baby probably is going to be sleeping through the night pretty consistently by 6 months. And will probably be ready to transition to their own room at that point. No pillows with the older kids until about age 2.
Age 2, no pillows until age 2.
Yeah.
Good advice. Thank you again for joining me and sharing about the dangers of co-sleeping and sudden infant death syndrome, and we've provided parents with some helpful advice. Once again, this was Dr. John Sevening, a pediatrician with UniPoint Clinic Pediatrics Hiawatha. To learn more about pediatric care, visit unipoint.org.
Thank you for listening to Live Well Talk On. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe. And if you want to spread the word, please give us a 5-star review and tell your family, friends, neighbors, strangers about our podcast. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcast. Until next time, be well.